Well, tonight I have a message for you. I started off with one title called Living on a Prayer. And then I thought, well, okay, Lord, where I'm going with this, Kingdom Come sounds a little more appropriate. So the title of tonight's message is Kingdom Come. And it is about the kingdom of God. And so if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. If you know anything about this particular area in Matthew, you will know that this is where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. But in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus was declaring that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's not an option in heaven for God's will not to be done. But on earth, it is God's will. Pause. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I ask, Lord, now that your Spirit move amongst us, open our eyes and open up our ears that we may hear and receive the truth of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Unpause. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've noticed a big difference. Just a short prayer like that. But what Jesus was saying is, Father, I'm going to declare when I pray, your will is done on earth. Now, we're going to get to some of this stuff here in a second, but so that's why it's kind of important for us, because a lot of people say, who can know the will of God? How many times have you heard that? Who can know the will of God? Who can know the things of God? Well, you can if you look. It's in there. You just got to be willing to sit down and spend more than 2 seconds reading the Bible. I know when I started these notes earlier, I just kept going and going and going. And I'm going to tell you right now, you have no idea, unless you've looked in your concordance, at just how many times Jesus talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But anyhow, so as Jesus was teaching us to pray, he's teaching us to establish God's will here on earth. We're establishing the kingdom when we do this. Now, Mark chapter 14. I might get boogieing through some of these, but they'll be up there. This is Jesus in the garden. He says, "Have you come out against me as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me?" Now, Pastor, what's that got to do with the kingdom of God? It's got everything to do with the kingdom of God, because he's pointing out, you came out against me as if I were of this world, as if I was a common thief, as if I were a king that you could come and overthrow. You're going to bring swords and clubs to take me away. He's starting to show and continue. If you look, he continually pointed out that his kingdom does not belong in this earth or in this world, in this society. That's why in John 18:36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Remember, he's talking to Pilate here. "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Right now, his kingdom is not. He's telling this to Pilate because they're going to crucify him. Now, here's what we got to think. He said, because if it were, guess what? My servants are going to rise up. Did Peter not already prove this? Here we have an inexperienced, he's a fisherman, for crying out. When it comes to things of a boat and how to tie knots and fishing and times of day and all this stuff, Peter's the man you want to talk to. But when it comes to sword manual, he's the last person you want to talk to. He's the last person you want to talk to about military tactics. He doesn't know. Now, however, Simon the Zealot, on the other hand, I think you might want to listen to him. Because if you don't know what Simon the Zealot really was, we'd call him a terrorist today. He was one of those people, when it said they produced two swords, Peter said, "We have two." But Peter only had one. So who do you think had the other? The nutcase. That's what we'd call him today. He would go around, and that was what they did. They killed Roman soldiers in the public. But thank God he got saved. It's always a good thing when a guy like that gets saved, isn't it? So, but anyhow, Jesus is establishing that my kingdom is not from here. They don't think this way. You've got to understand this, Pilate. My people are not of this world. As a matter of fact, if you'd actually read back up in there, you'd have seen where after he surrendered himself, it said, and all of the disciples forsook him. They all left him on the spot, John included. You know why they had to do that? I was thinking about this today. And as Jesus was praying, I'm going to back up just a little bit. He's in the garden and he's there praying. And he kept coming back to him. He says, can't you stay awake? Can't you pray with me for 1 hour? And he'd come back, are you asleep again? Can't you stay awake? Now, I can understand, you know, this is a tumultuous time. The disciples still did not fully understand what was going on. I mean, we can read the word and we can see where Jesus said, the one to whom I give this bread will be the one who betrays me. And he dips the bread in the cup, hands it to Judas, and they all thought he was telling, and Judas gets up and leaves, and they all thought he told him to go get some money and give it to the poor. Now, how did they get that out of what he said? Except if not, the Holy Spirit had deafened their ears and had laid their eyes shut so that they would not pray. Pastor, you mean, it's God's kingdom. He can do what he wants. We'll look at that. But he had to, because it would have been, because you know what they'd have been praying? Lord, deliver Jesus. Lord, deliver him. Because that's what Jesus was praying. So now we got all of them agreeing on earth. It only takes two. He did not need anybody else agreeing because he needed Jesus to go to the cross. And if Jesus had not gone to the cross, the victory wouldn't have been his, the victory wouldn't have been ours, and we would still be in the same old boat we were in before. So now he's there before Pilate, and he says, my kingdom's not of this earth. So what, you know, and you can imagine Pilate. So what, you one of them Egyptians, you think aliens come down and zapped your mind and all this stuff? It wasn't wise, because you got to first off understand the word cosmos. It's not here, it's not of this society. It's not of this thinking. And if we don't comprehend that, because how many know we're here, right? Oh, God hates this world. God does not hate this world. He created it. God doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate the beings. He doesn't, as much as we'd like to think, he does not hate the people. He hates what's going on. And that's why he wants his will established here. And guess whose responsibility it is to establish the will of God or to establish the kingdom here on earth? That's ours. It's our job. I'm going to get to more of that. When Jesus came, he came to be a king over a kingdom. He didn't come to be a mayor over a city, a governor over a state, a president over a country. He came to be a king over a kingdom. And what's the difference between a kingdom and a country? A kingdom can run countless countries. If you, in the back of your Bible, if you got the maps back there, that'll show you a lot of times the rule of Saul, which was just basic Israel. Then the rule of David was just a little bit more. But then the rule of Solomon was huge. All three kings, but they ruled three different areas. They would keep taking it. The Romans, they just kept taking more and more and more. And that's what a kingdom does. It just continues to grow, whereas a country is bound by its borders. This kingdom would be different from the current makings of a kingdom. It's not going to operate the same way. How does a, typically, let's go back to what I just said about the kingdom. Kingdoms keep expanding how? By forceful takeovers. That's how they keep expanding. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. It doesn't operate the same way. Now, we like to think, well, we're going to go in. Listen, I'm all for violence. Okay? All for that violent takeover. But he's saying, my kingdom doesn't operate that way. If the church had gotten a hold of this, we'd have never had the Crusades. And I hate to say it, but that is a black eye on the church. Because we got to thinking, we got to protect the kingdom. God had Israel laid in waste, and we ended up we lost all that stuff anyhow. It all went right back to them. So what was all that? Was it 100 years? All those countless lives, the families that were devastated for what? Because man did not understand God's kingdom does not operate the same way that the kingdoms of this world does. He didn't need, let me state this again, he didn't need people on horseback and knights and all the glamorous tales of warfare to protect Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he brought Jerusalem under judgment at that time. Jesus, however, needed to be crowned in order for his kingdom to be established. Do you know the kingdom of God has come is what it said. It's what the Apostle John did. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming. What did Jesus preach? The exact same thing. Do you know why he preached the kingdom of God is at hand? Because the king hadn't been crowned yet. It can only be at hand. He can't sit down and rule until he's been crowned. It doesn't matter, you know, Charles, Prince Charles, he may be a prince, the next in line. But until he's crowned king, the queen still rules. So Great Britain, it doesn't matter. And now it sounds like they're even trying to bypass Charles. What wouldn't that really make you think, boy, I really messed up a while back? Luke 22, verse 69. Jesus is now talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, hereafter, when they've got him in front of him, and they're drilling him, and they're trying to get him to admit that he's the Son of God. Do you notice he never himself said it? But in Luke 22, 69, he said, hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. What hereafter? He's talking about hereafter. I resurrect, when you see me next, if you see me next, I will be seated as king. Now, here's the only thing. I've thought about this before, and I keep thinking, Lord, how? Okay, Paul says he saw a bright light and you were talking to him. And I understand that, you know, that God can transcend space and time and all this. And, you know, people, you know, I believe even Kenneth Hagin had a vision of Jesus. And many people have claimed they saw Jesus. I thought, okay, how can you see Jesus when he's supposed to be seated on the throne? And then God pointed something out to me. It was just as obvious as the nose on my face. Just because you're seated does not mean you are physically sitting. Do you follow me? While the Queen of England is the seated queen, she's probably sound asleep right now in her bed. But is she still the queen? Yes, she is. Is she the queen when she gets up and she's brushing her teeth in the morning? Yes, she is. She's the queen no matter where she's at. She's the Queen of England if she's in the United States. So Jesus is still the seated king of the kingdom of heaven, regardless of where he's at. Whether he appears to Brother Hagin in a vision, whether he appears to Richard in a vision, it doesn't matter. What does matter is we remember he's the seated king. President Obama is still president of the United States, regardless if he's in Ohio, or he's in Korea. He is still the president of the United States. He still is the boss. And Jesus is still the king. Once he was established, Jesus was letting these guys know, you're going to crown me. I'm going to be crowned and I'm going to move on. And I'm going to become the king. The right hand has always represented power and authority. If you ever notice, when you are knighted, it's the right hand. When we shake hands, do you know why we use the right hand? Because when people used to, when they carried arms, it showed, I don't have an arm. I don't have a weapon that I'm going to try to hurt you with. That is where the salute came from. All salutes are right-handed salutes. You pop it up here. Why? Because it showed that you did not have your sword in your hand. If you had your sword in your hand, you were probably going to cut your head off. So when you pop that up there, it showed the other person, I'm giving you respect, and I'm not going to kill you. So after his resurrection, Jesus would be crowned King of Kings. Mark 15:2. Pilate asked Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? And I like the way the New King James puts it. It says, it is as you say. It is. Now listen to it. Pilate asked him, are you King of the Jews? And Jesus says, it is as you have said. This should not be misconstrued that Jesus wasn't cooperating or was employing conversation control tactics. That's what people like, oh, Jesus was just controlling the conversation so he wouldn't get in trouble. No. You misunderstood it. Because I didn't see it until I was writing all this down. This was Jesus speaking or agreeing with that which was already established in heaven. He spoke it into the earth. He merely agreed because Pilate had established it. It doesn't matter who speaks it. If it's the will of God, it's going to happen. That's why Balaam's donkey was able to speak the truth to the prophet. Hebrews 11:1, what'll show up there is the King James Version. This is a loose translation, okay? So you'll see it. Faith is believing what is not seen but is true. Faith is believing what is not seen, but it is still true. Jesus saw himself as king, even though right at that moment, he wasn't standing there with a crown, was he? As a matter of fact, most of the pictures we would see at this time, Jesus is standing there like this, with his hands bound in front of him. That's the way we see Jesus. He's not standing there wearing a crown and saying, I am the King of the Jews. As a matter of fact, Pilate wanted to make sure that this was so ingrained into people that they understood he was the king, that he made sure that it was put on top of his cross. Here is the King of the Jews. Boy, talk about making some people mad. So Jesus has been the whole time working these 3 years in ministry to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. First thing you need to do with the kingdom is you need to get a group of followers in that area that are faithful and true. Because as soon as you leave, if they're not faithful and they do not fear you, hey, king's gone, let's do what we want. And that's what happens. Just like if you're a boss at a business and you tell an employee to do something, I promise you that if you come back early, you will find him horsing around. I used to work for a guy, and we were getting ready to move back home, and he was just hiring me to do some work for him while we were getting packed and waiting to move, and he would tell these guys to do things. Now, to tell you the kind of guys they were, a lot of them were his family. For some reason, he could not tell his family no, and he could not fire him because they were a bunch of lazy bums. They could work you under the table, but they could also waste a lot of money. They were drag racing tractors in the middle of two barns while he was gone, and the one ran over the other. The tractor ran over the other tractor. Fortunately, the other idiot had enough sense to jump because the other tractor tire came down and destroyed the seat where he had been sitting. They caught the tires, locked them together, and flipped it up in the air and brought it down on the other one. Now, I wouldn't want to have been there because, you know, this guy was usually pretty easy going, but I can imagine the sparks flying and them trying to explain how they did this. When the boss went away, we've always heard, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So Jesus needed to come first off and establish a following. And that's exactly what he did. We know he had at least 120 really faithful. And I say really faithful because he told 500, no less than 500, to wait. They only had to wait a couple days. Isn't that the hardest thing to do, though? is to wait on God. We're just so antsy. We want to, let's go now. Come on. We're worse than a kid on the night before Christmas. But they just couldn't wait. Life was calling. Life was beckoning. However, what they missed out on was an event that changed the entire world. Because out of that, there were 12 men, actually 11, they hadn't replaced Judas yet. And all these other followers, but there was 11 faithful who had been with Jesus. And Jesus had restored them, brought them back into a new relationship with him as a risen king now. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. It was enough, folks, that it says the sound of a mighty rushing wind. We think, you know, we're in the building. You got to understand, it was heard outside in Jerusalem. It was not just in the room they heard the whoosh. It was outside in Jerusalem that the sound was heard, because people were like, what was that? What just happened? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. This is Jesus talking to Peter. He has just now said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And in verse 19, Jesus said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, first off, who gives the keys? If you're in our times, let's say the village of Mount Gilead wants to honor me and they want to give me the keys to the village, the keys to the city. Who presents it? The mayor, the boss. What did Jesus just say here? I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Same principle. He's even speaking in faith of a future event because Jesus does not have them yet. He went and took them. He gained back all that authority, all the power, and he got everything. And he said, now I'm going to give it. You got to understand, at this point, a lot of people are still trying to say, no, Jesus wasn't talking about building the church on Peter. Listen, I don't really care. The word Peter means rock. Peter was known as the first pastor. Peter was the one that Jesus told to go and feed my sheep. Peter did a lot. Jesus relied on Peter. John did a lot too, but Peter was who was primary in building the church. Okay? So you got to understand, when Jesus said, I'm going to give it, he's talking to Peter, he's not saying it just to Peter. Peter is now representing a figure in the church. He's representing a pastor. Somebody comes here and says, Pastor, I want to give your church 100 acres. Now, who did he give that to? The church. I'm just the representative. And that's what Peter was. Peter was now the representative, figuratively speaking, of the church here on earth, of the kingdom that God was establishing. He said, I'm going to give you the keys. When you've got the keys, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen any shows. I've always seen it in movies, never known any real ceremonies to ever take place. I'm sure it came from somewhere. But, you know, people, particularly when they've got the keys to the city, you know, they can go anywhere. They don't have to pay for anything. They go in a restaurant because, oh, no, we know who you are. It's on the house. You know, they go to the pub. They don't have to buy their own beer. They don't have to do none of that stuff. The authority and the power that came with that key, Jesus said, I'm giving you all of that. And you need to understand how to use it. Now, I will tell you this. I do not believe the church, the first church, probably the first inside of 300 years, I believe understood a lot of that. And they were exercising a lot of that. And they were operating. That's why the church exploded. But something happened. Religion got in and religion said, oh, no, we cannot. Normal men cannot handle this power. Then why did God choose normal men to distribute the power? God wanted us all to understand It's your power too. It's not just the TV preacher. It's not just a guy that's got 20,000 in his congregation. It's you. In your home. You have the power and the authority that Jesus Christ gave to Peter. And you need to understand what all Peter did do. I mean, the dead were raised. People were healed. When Jesus was now telling him, he says, I'll give you these keys. He said, I'm giving you the power that will be given to me. You will act in my stead. You will be my ambassador. Now, if you don't know what an ambassador is, it is somebody who represents another group of people or entity on their behalf. And they have the power to act. That's why if you are in a foreign country, you need to find the U.S. Embassy. Because the ambassador carries the authority of the president. He can't start war. Of course, the president can't do that. But he does carry authority in that country of the United States of America. You, as a believer, carry the authority of Jesus Christ in his kingdom here on earth. And Jesus has been trying to get this through to us. Because the first church should not have been the only glorious church. The dark ages should have never happened. But man wanted to contain the power of God. Instead of putting him in a little box like he was in the Ark of the Covenant, man said, we want to just keep him between two leather binders. You don't understand this. Don't try to read it. What you speak into this earth, all the power of my kingdom will be put to work to either stop something or to free something. Now stop and think about that for just a second. Now again, I'm going to put this into terminology you can understand. Let's say you're in North Korea. I'm not even for certain if we still have an embassy there. But you got to get to an embassy. You get to the embassy. And you identify yourself as an American citizen. You've got communist soldiers on your tail trying to arrest you. As soon as you get through that gate, not only will you have U.S. Marines standing guard, you're going to have U.S. Marines who have the authority of the President of the United States to shoot anybody who crosses over that fence. They have the power to bind anything, and if you are there illegally, they have the power to loose you from their protection. They have the full backing of not just what they have in their little arsenal. So you got to understand, anytime the United States goes in to evacuate an embassy, we did it in Saigon, we did it in Panama, we evacuated a college in Grenada. Had to get my years right. The United States, when we went in to evacuate the college, this was a college just with American students. Not only did we send the Marines, we sent the Army. We sent in a whole bunch of people just for a small group. Why? Because they are part of us. And Jesus was saying, I will send all the forces of heaven on your behalf to bind whatever needs to be bound up, to stop whatever needs to be stopped, and to open and loosen everything that you need. But guess what? He said, whatever you bind, whatever you loose. If you aren't speaking the word of God into the earth, don't sit there and ask God, why aren't the windows of heaven opened? You haven't spoken. Now, Jesus came to establish his kingdom here on earth. Have we established that fact? I think I may have wrote that several times. His kingdom was never meant to operate this world's principles because it can't. This world's principles are selfishness. It's all about self-preservation, self-gain. That is what started. Again, yeah, Adam and Eve took what belonged to God, but it was all selfishness. It was for their personal gain. and you will have knowledge. The Bible tells us so many times to be careful of carnal, fleshly knowledge. It may be great for us to understand in our mind the whole universe and how everything operates. But seriously, wouldn't you rather know the person who created it? Wouldn't you rather go to the person who designed it instead of trying to figure it out on your own just to figure out, oh, I missed. I was wrong here. That doesn't spin that direction. It goes the other direction. Justin has this thing. He got in a Happy Meal the other day. Well, whatever Wendy's meals are. And kids' meal, I guess. And it was the solar system. I'd never heard of a dwarf planet until they reduced Pluto to a dwarf planet. Now apparently there's four or five of them in our solar system along the line. And but there were some things I found extremely interesting. They listed out the average temperatures and their positioning and all this stuff on it, but they listed out the equatorial distance of these planets. Now, I can understand being able to figure out the distance of our equator because we're here. But I don't know we've ever sent anybody to Neptune and Venus, Saturn. We can't even make it to Mars, and it's the next one up. And we can't go the other way because we'll burn up. I thought, how do they know this? Are they sitting back here saying, okay, it's just so big? What if you are wrong on how far away that thing really is? Just one minute calculation can make Venus 10 times bigger than we think. I think I would rather understand the God who created Venus and put it into orbit than trying to spend my whole life trying to figure out Venus. Because you know what? I'll never get to Venus, but I'm going to stand before God one of these days. Now, Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. He's speaking to the Jews here. He's saying the kingdom of God, the rights of the kingdom. Listen, before Jesus, we had no rights to the kingdom. But it was always God's intention to bring this about. By rejecting Jesus, the authority of the kingdom was being transferred to the Gentiles who would believe. That's us. We dared to believe. And the Jews had not established God's kingdom. They established a kingdom based on rules and regulations. And they liked to figure out how they could turn them and manipulate them. Is that not what we still do with our government today? There's a loophole here. Why is there a loophole? In a lot of these laws, I believe that the spirit of the law was fully declared when it was written, but because somebody is willing to open their big mouth and argue that there's a loophole, there is no real loophole. The law is black and white, and there's no loopholes that you can... Well, it does not say that you can't do this, and there's where we get into it. Does that not sound like a familiar argument from other times? Did God really say? I think he did. Now, I want to read, and I got to go there, 33 through 40 of Matthew 21. I had all these written out in my notes. Let me get here to Matthew 21. This is, I probably should have read them the other way, but hey, what's done is done. What did I say, 33 through 40? Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent the servants to the vineyard, to the vine dressers, that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the vine dressers? He is going to smear their rear ends all across that vineyard, is what's going to happen. He's going to destroy them. Now, if you're not for certain what this was about, it's about the kingdom of heaven. It was about God establishing the Hebrew race as the caretakers. But they chose not to do what God had wanted. They would not bring forth fruit. What are we supposed to be bringing forth? Fruit. Fruit brings forth fruit. We are the vineyard. Israel has always been referred to as vine. We are now grafted into the vine. And because of that, he said, I sent you prophets and you killed them. When that didn't work, I sent you more prophets, more than the last batch, and you killed them too. So finally, I said to myself, they will respect my son. But they did not respect him. And they killed him and they cast him out of the vineyard as well. Now, the only thing that he kind of left out and he didn't get into is the fact that he who comes back is going to be he who they cast out, coming back with the authority of the vineyard owner. And then that's just where Jesus told him, he said, and because of this, because you have kept the fruit, you've not produced, I am going to take away the kingdom of heaven from you. And it has been given to us. Every last one of us. And you know what amazes me? Not all of them do this, but many times when a Jew gets born again, they finally accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know what they want to do? They want to bring you under the law. They didn't get it. They understood they needed salvation, but they didn't understand that the law did not bring about the salvation. The law brought forth death. We can get into that some other time. Now Luke 17, 20 through 21 says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for the kingdom of God is within you. That's why they couldn't see it. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this earth. It's not of this world. It's because the kingdom of God is in us. Can I tell you a little secret? The kingdom of God was within you before you found Christ. Everything you've ever needed was there. It just needed to recognize the rightful owner. I believe, and I think I've shared this before, but I believe that all music was meant to glorify God. I don't care what the song was written. I think they just got the wrong lyrics to them, is what happened. So many songs today we hear that are talking about sex and power and all this stuff and drugs and alcohol and partying. The music is from God. The lyrics were stolen from Satan or by Satan. And they were twisted and perverted. One of the greatest songs out of the 60s, You're My Sweet Lord. Hare Krishna. Do you know how many Christians run around singing that? You're my sweet Lord. Why don't you listen to the rest of the words? I heard that on the radio the other day and I thought, okay, was that my imagination that was supposed to be in there? And then all of a sudden, because I was thinking maybe this was one of those backward masking deals. It was there in full blown. How dumb do we have to be? But yet they get other good things right. All you need is love. Love is all you need, and it is. Go figure. They got one right. But where they mess up is when they start going wrong. They start taking the glory away from God and the message away from God what God is trying to establish in this earth, and they make it their own. Pour some sugar on me. I never looked at the lyrics of that song. I knew it wasn't real clean. But then I looked at the lyrics. I'm like, oh, Lord. I didn't know they were talking to, never mind. But then I had something drop into my spirit. Because musically, the song rocks. Lyrically, it stinks. And as we're standing there, we told the boys, and said, you need to rewrite the words. And as we did, we were standing there, and I just heard, pour your spirit on me. Do you know that works? That works. You can sing it the same exact way. By the way, do you know you can sing Amazing Grace to every song ever written? You can. And there was a, I forget even, I think maybe Isaac, yes, Isaac posted this the other day. I watched it, I'm like, yes! But Tim Hawkins, if you don't know who Tim Hawkins, you need to get there, find him. He does a Led Zeppelin version of Shout to the Lord. It was awesome. The kingdom of God, the seed is already there. It just depends on which master you're going to yield it to. Whoever wrote that song was awesome. They did great writing the song. They just put the wrong lyrics to it. Stairway to Heaven. Because they had been token on a few things, found the wrong stairwell. Wrote the wrong words. Because the kingdom of God was not established in them. The wrong things is what was bringing it out. So you're not going to see it. It's already in you. That's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's just some of the things that it is. It's not all that it is. It's not us eating and dancing and drinking and doing whatever we want. It's righteousness. It's doing things right, God's way of doing right. Let me tell you how I think we've messed up the world, and I'm going to wrap up. Our system has created a society of welfare. The church is nothing more than another welfare branch. We get people all the time calling, I'm behind on my bills. Yeah? I need food. Why? What created emergency? I got kids. Welcome to the club. I got three boys that can eat me out of house and home. Told the boys I might buy a Harley when they all grow. That's how much I'll save a year. I couldn't imagine life if they were any closer together. But the church has not always done everything God's way of doing it. Why? Because we didn't interpret all the scriptures totally right. When he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. We'll talk about, we're going to really grind on this for a little while. Great, I can take you out and feed you right now, one meal. But guess what? You're going to wake up in the morning hungry again. If I don't try to get you established to work, which is what's going to bring about more money to buy more food, then we have nothing else to go on. But the church doesn't want the kingdom of God. They want to do it the world's way. Have we figured out yet that the world's way does not work? We said, well, let's have Social Security. That way we can have money when we retire. I think it's interesting that our leaders don't have Social Security, but yet they're the ones blowing it. If we take the time to listen to what God is saying, we will establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. Now, like I said, There's so much more I want to get into. I've already gone through a big list. Kayla asked me, said, Pastor, you got any scriptures for tonight? And I said, yep, I'm writing them down. And I handed her, I said, I doubt we get through all of them. And that was only two pages worth of the scriptures that I have. But I believe God is wanting us to understand his kingdom and why we're here. Has anybody ever wondered why you're here? Well, you say, well, God, why didn't God just deal with Adam and Eve right off the bat and start all over then? Because it's his kingdom. Why didn't you pull up that tree that was growing beside your house when it was just a sapling? Because you had a plan, maybe. Maybe I had one. They call it the tree of paradise. I mean, you know what they are? They stink to high heaven when you pull them up. But you know what? My neighbor cut the mother tree down. They grow by roots. They didn't pop up in his yard. I cut down, I kid you not, about 150 of them in my yard one mowing. They were just... And then I had some that grew in the corner, on the corner. And they looked very tropical. So I'd let them pop up, then I'd whack them down. Then eventually I had a root ball that, or a stump that big around to have to get rid of. That took some work to getting out. What is God's plan? Why did God wait? Why has God waited so long? I don't know. Ask him when you get there. But just remember not to be belligerent about it. Because the Bible did tell us not to just fear the one who can kill our body, but to fear the one who can kill our body and cast our soul into hell. So keep that in mind when you're standing before God and you're thinking about being belligerent. Bite your tongue. He already knows what you're thinking, and he will reveal what his full plan was. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I love the Bible, there are things I believe that God has not showed us to happen, or has happened yet. As a matter of fact, there's a whole book. Was it Daniel, I believe, had to eat? I would really like to know what was in that book. But I can't, because Daniel died. Yeah, and we didn't want to eat it after it was digested either, so. A little ineligible. Ineligible, yeah. Yeah, that too. It no longer qualifies. We'll be doing some rough interpreting there. So, this is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the kingdom of God and its establishment and how we establish it and why we're here to establish it. We're not here just for looks. As much as I would like to think so. Did I grace? Yeah, right, Phil? We grace this earth. We make this earth a better place by our very presence. Okay, now that I can, I'm going to move over this way in the event that the lightning... Maybe I ought to just go sit with Phil, because God might as well take us both at the same shot. Yeah. There goes two morons in one shot. Cool. So that's what we're going to be looking at, is why God established a kingdom and how everything. We're going to get into every little detail that I can squeeze out of my Bible about the kingdom of God. Because if you have not paid attention, a lot of the parables, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field. The kingdom of God is like a woman who went and leavened a bunch of bread. So we need to examine and understand exactly what Jesus said it for a reason. He wasn't one of those people that just had diarrhea of the mouth and just couldn't shut up. What he spoke for a reason. And that's why we need to speak it. All right, well, let's stand. I'll bless you. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your power and might that flows through us to be your ambassadors in your kingdom. Now, Father, I pray that you go with your people. I pray that this word will take root, settle into their hearts and be established, Father, that it will not be removed from them, and that out of it will flow much fruit. Father, bless them tonight. Bless their bodies. Heal them. Touch them. Put them at ease. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.